Hello, welcome back to Bitches Brew the podcast. It has been a while. Life be lifin', and as I've mentioned before, this is a lifestyle, the podcast is a reflection of my lifestyle, and I am really out here doing the work to lean into softness and ground back into my body. Disconnect with survival mode, hypervigilance, all of the above. And that means that until I have lived it, there isn't much that I can share. There isn't much I can provide. And then also just being very, very intentional of honoring a boundary that says that I can't share until I have overflow. So, And truthfully, this particular morning, I mean, maybe I do have overflow. I don't know. Let's get into it. So, last episode was about giving myself and encouraging anyone who's listening, to give yourself the green light to call in whatever it is that you want, new feelings, new experiences, a new identity, just whatever it is that you feel like, oh, it's been evading you, or it's so far away, or it feels like it's, like for me, things used to feel like they were so far away that they're in my future. But if anything, I've learned that isn't true. Truthfully, everything is in the present moment. You already have access to it. It already is yours. Like all of those cliche-ass terms stand if you get it, and it's like it literally is the girls that get it, and that's it. What else can I say? But yeah, anything that you feel like was so far away and out of your reach because you don't have the resources or because you don't feel good enough, whatever that case may be, call it in and let it in. You know, that's there. Like, I've learned with the process that everything does have a step. There's a place for everything. Everything has a place. There are steps that need to be honored, and certain steps you can skip because you get comfortable and you know what to expect, what's coming next, and you can kind of make up for that step that you move or you that you don't do. And then there's certain steps that they have to happen. They have to. And calling it in, allowing it in, are two different steps, and they must be attended to. They must be done. And I think maybe that's also why there's been such a gap in between my last episode and this one, is that I did call it in. And so I had to call it in, and then I had to allow it in. And what I've got from this morning, and I'm going to get into that shortly, is that, because I did, yeah, last episode I spoke on how when you call in a new feeling or you acknowledge the presence of a new feeling, that old feeling, last episode was about any old feelings, like super stale, low vibrational feelings that you feel coming back up. You feel like you've already dealt with it and here it is again. That's your opportunity to look further into the room and see, okay, where's the opposite of it? Where there is one thing, there's the other. That's science. So if I'm feeling unworthy, there's worthiness somewhere in here that I can see. I just have to shift my focus. If I'm feeling lack and like I don't have what I need, like my needs aren't met, somewhere in here is the opportunity to actually get my needs met. Do you get where I'm going with this? So that was last episode. This episode, I want to speak on how once you call in a feeling and you allow in a feeling, that sometimes, or not sometimes, that the opposite of that feeling, so that old still energy that you're used to feeling, it needs to be cleared still. I have made the mistake of assuming that that. I'm on a high. I'm feeling really good. I've called in the energy I want. I'm in this, you know, the timeline's grounded. I'm in this new life. And then sometimes the same day or the next day, I feel like shit. I'm actually back where I started. And now that I'm saying it out loud, there's also something to consider too. Let me finish the point that I'm making. So what I concluded was that once you do call in a new feeling, once you have the audacity to actually let it in, that the feeling you're used to feeling, or the whatever, you know, let's treat it like furniture or like a middle child. You know, like, well, let's do the middle child analogy. When you let in a new feeling, whatever feeling was already there is going to act out. It's going to try to its best to get your attention. So let's treat the new feeling of abundance and, you know, your finances are straight, dream life, whatever it is that you want, the person that you want to become, that discipline, just all those things that you want is the new baby that you just brought into the house. The middle child's gonna act out. The middle child is going to start throwing tantrums and doing things on purpose to get your attention because it wants to lead, you know, it can't possibly fathom that the space that used to be theirs is now going to have, they're gonna have to share space with something else that is more important than it is to you. And so I think that's what I was experiencing this morning. I've not been sleeping well. I've been working out every day. And I realized, I'm like, and not to meet like a weight goal, because I haven't stepped on a scale in I don't know how long. But just one, I do have like a physical goal that I want to meet just because I know I can do it. But really I realized that like working out is my way of showing me attention. I don't have that many, you know, I have acquaintances here in Atlanta, but I don't spend any time with them. We don't go to lunches. We don't go on outings. If I do go somewhere, I show up by myself, dolo. Like, I don't come in enough physical contact with anybody and have someone in my corner. I'm a mom to a toddler. She's in school now, but still I don't have the time to myself that I need. I wake up, I get her to school. You know, if we're doing a house sit where there's pets, I have to tend to the pets. I literally, this last week, have been getting, like, after all everything is done, maybe, like, an hour to lay down. And then I have to get, like, I go take her to school, come back, and I have, like, an hour to myself before I have to go get her again. It's insane. It's fucking insane how the time just flies by. And I've been working out and also moving doing a lot of shadow work. So I'm exhausted, baby. I am exhausted. I need rest, and I haven't been drinking as much water as I should. As you know, if you don't drink water the way that your body needs you to, it'll start feeling dehydrated, and it'll therefore trick itself into thinking that you're like on a deserted island or some shit, and like you need to go into survival mode to save yourself. Your body assumes if you're not drinking water, it's because it's not available to you, so we need to protect you. So I say that to say that this morning I woke up in a fucking mood. And the thing is, yesterday I felt great. I felt great. I don't know what it was. Well, I do know what it was. I'll get into that shortly. I called in a feeling. I allowed the feeling. I stood up for myself. I set a boundary. A boundary that I've, you know, needed to set for my inner child. And I think I did. I tapped into a new energy and I felt the newness of life that was available to me now. And then for me to wake up and be feeling the way I was feeling, which is super anxious, or I wouldn't say anxious, but just unsafe in my body. That feeling where every little thing that happens around me irritates me, or anything or anyone coming too close to me makes me feel unsafe. Or like literally driving on the freeway and feeling like I'm being chased, something like just unsafe in my body, triggered, uncomfortable.
for me to feel that way, I don't know, or just now I was ranting to myself and I know exactly what it is now. I realized that yesterday setting that boundary for myself, it exposed me to a new level of care. And it raised the standard for myself, and it kind of raised my tolerance, or maybe lowered my tolerance, one of the two, for how I need to be cared for. And like, I have a very high pain tolerance. It takes a while before I'm like, okay, that's enough. Like, I can take a lot, and that's not a compliment. That's not a plus or a positive. It's not okay that I have a level of cognitive dissonance to where I can tune out from things that are happening, that are things that are harming me, and let it happen and still kind of like, you know, tune it out and bite down and buckle in and get through it until I reach a point where I lose my shit and I just kind of just spill over. Like, okay, enough is enough. And so, but that's my point. By setting certain boundaries, by finally saying like, no, actually I need to be cared for in this way, it changes the way that I respond to that going forward. So now this morning when I wake up and I know that I am uncomfortable and I'm feeling unsafe, instead of me immediately going into actually just being a bitch and being irritable and wanting to just like stay in bed and not follow through, or wanting to stop for fast food breakfast, or wanting to woe is me, just all the different things that I normally would do as a result of that feeling, the first thing I did was just ask myself, like, what do you need? How can I care for you? How can I show up for you in this moment to make sure that you feel like your needs are met, that you feel like you're seen, that you feel like you matter, you know, so we can actually resolve this, not just get through it and, you know, until it stops happening, not just redirect your attention or escape the moment, but actually make you feel a sense of resolution. I'm noticing like that I did it, because in the moment I wasn't intentional about, okay, no, we're going to care for ourselves this time. Like, no, that's just the first thing I did was like, what do you like, what's going on? And it's okay. And talking me through it, offering me kind words to get through it. And that's okay. Like, I used to think I was fucking crazy to experience a high and a low in the same day, or like, you know, like consecutive days apart. What the hell? But that's the beauty of life. That's a part of the process. I do also want to speak on that too. When it comes to the process, I came up with this analogy also recently where I was like, once you put a seed in the ground and you water it and you just have mud, basically. You have a section of dirt that is now mud because you've watered it. It officially is a garden. It's a garden when it's just watered dirt. It's a garden when that first little leaf pops up. It's a garden when it becomes a bulb. It's a garden when it's one flower. It's a garden when it's, and then obviously it becomes a garden where there's all these different flowers flourishing, or fruits or vegetables, whatever you're growing. And so that was my way of reminding myself that no matter what it looks like on the outside, and by the outside, I mean the physical realm, no matter what the physical is showing me or offering me, it's still in the process of becoming. Like, it's still in the oven cooking. There's no reason to worry. There's no reason to question or doubt myself. There's no reason to get out of a state of receiving, that I still need to stay in a mode of receiving. Still be intentional and excited about what's on the way for me and let it in. I had something happened where I realized, like, oh shit, it's still happening for me. It's been happening this entire time. And then I also heard something that was like the time lag that happens in between you asking for your manifestation and receiving it. It's not necessarily a point of waiting. You're not waiting for it, really. Really, that space of time is your opportunity to appreciate the process that goes into bringing that manifestation to you. That literally, the process is the manifestation. That gives you all this time to be excited about it, to prepare for it, to acclimate and grow, to let other things go as well. Like, literally, when you asked for, to be more courageous, you literally get put in a position that forces you to be courageous. Do you get what I'm saying? You manifest as you're in the process, or the process is the manifestation, not the end result. Literally, you in the process, you believing in it, believing in yourself, acclimating to, is the manifestation. So, and I mean, this isn't a podcast about manifestation, but I say all that to say that the same can be said about your own journey, away from your trauma, away from your triggers, away from a version of yourself that you honestly just don't even resonate with. A version of yourself that is just a representation of how you chose to survive. And that you have to give yourself grace to move through all those different shifts and changes, knowing that the best version of yourself is still possible. That the best version of yourself is that you're transforming into her with every single step that you're going through. That it's contributing to your manifestation. That you're not, like, I sometimes feel like, damn, I'm delaying my own manifestation because of my bad day, or I'm, it's gonna take forever for it to come in because I didn't went off course. No. That is literally the path to that version of yourself, to that peace, to that harmony, to that ease. And, to get more specific, yesterday, I, out of the blue, because we haven't spoken in a couple of days, asked the, person I'm having an affair with, I would just literally text them. I mean, out of the blue, I want an allowance. Now, mind you, it's not about the money. It's really not. But because I had been obsessed with, like, the idea and, like, been meditating on it. And by meditating, I mean, arguing in the mirror while I do my skincare as if that person's right there. About the fact that, like, you charming me and making me laugh and flirting with me on the phone is great and all. But once I get off the phone, if I'm still the person that's solely meeting my financial needs, there's a discourse there that's not working for me. That doesn't work for me. We used to be physical. It's been a while. We took a break, and I'm now being really intentional with setting boundaries. I haven't allowed him to come and see me and be around me. I've been very intentional about the access that I give him. Because again, my tolerance for care has shifted. My tolerance for care has shifted. So I feel like no matter how bad I need a hug, no matter how bad I, want to be shown affection, I have to still put, I have to still meet a standard for myself. Period. So, yeah, out of nowhere, I asked for an allowance because I'm like, for you to want to access my body, for you to want to, you know, kind of address me with a certain level of possessiveness, you know, basically saying like, I'm yours. Okay, well, not really. Because again, I'm the person that's meeting my financial needs in my world. And so the ease that should come along with feeling like I'm somebody's and like I'm taken care of, it just won't, I can't connect with it. I can't connect with it because I don't feel cared for. I don't feel like, not even like as if my needs are met, but I don't even feel like there's a level of consideration to ask, are your needs met? And so like I'm saying, like, it's not about the money, just me having the nerve to communicate that like, hey, you want me to submit to you in a certain way. You want me in my feminine energy to compliment, you know, yours at, honestly, because I'm sure you're not coming to me and wanting me to behave in my masculine and be defensive and compete with you. No, I'm sure you want me, I'm sure you want to come into my space, or I'm sure you want to be in a space with me where I'm feminine and I'm soft and I make you feel masculine and protective and strong. I'm sure that's what you're asking of me. And so in order for that to happen, I need to feel secure and taken care of in this space by you first. I need to know it's safe for my feminine energy to exist there. And as cliche as it sounds, the easiest way for you to make me feel that way, because we aren't in each other's lives physically at the moment, is money. For you to simply take the pressure off of me. Because the thing is, the man, the whole cliche thing, the man is a provider and the woman takes care of the household, it's not because, or at least this is how I feel now, it's not to demean women, to put us down, to say that we shouldn't be making our own money, to put us in a position where we're dependent on a man and therefore, you know, weakened and vulnerable. No, the man is the provider because worrying about money, going out and working, that's a mental thing, a mental and a physical thing, and it's masculine energy. Worrying about paying a bill and paying this off and what needs to be done and blah, 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 that's what you do in your mind. And so as a woman, me being in my mind means that I'm not in my body. And me not being in my body leaves me vulnerable to certain energies of this world that don't have, that aren't considerate of me. And that's another conversation we're going to get into, I believe, on this podcast. I think today too. We'll get there. But do you get what I'm saying? So I'm just like, and so the idea of a man wanting a woman to show up in her feminine, but not doing things that let her know it's safe to be in her feminine, don't make sense to me. The whole black man complaining about black woman conversation, the levels of it, it could frustrate me if I really get into it. But just on the surface, any man that complains about a black woman who has an attitude or who's defensive or, you know, who doesn't let him be a man is a man who's complaining about his mother. Nothing, there's nothing else. He's complaining about how much he resents his mother. And the thing is, he probably won't admit that either because he loves his mother and he speaks highly of her and he wants to take care of her. You're doing that because you're trying to force her to let you show up in her life as a man because she didn't give you that space as a child. Okay? But I digress. So, and I say that to say, any man who complains about that but has never actually taken the time to actually ask that black woman, what can I do to assure you that you're safe and that it's safe for you to be in your feminine around me, is a fucking joke. Let him go. And so, but also it's the woman's job to know how to answer that question too. What do I need in order to feel safe? So, but it all comes back again to provider. A man's supposed to ask you, what do you need from me? What can I provide for you? Because a man providing fuels him and makes him feel wanted. It makes him feel of purpose. Men need purpose or else they feel worthless. So that's what I'm saying. Like, any conversation that paints the whole idea of a man having to go out to work and provide is a negative, that isn't a man, that's a boy. Because real men like to build and create. Men like to feel of purpose, to have something that they're putting out into the world. That's why it's a man's world. Not to trap us and harm us, and not to trap or harm them too, or harm them either. But yeah, I say all that to say that if I'm concerned about paying this bill and doing this and doing that, as a single mom at that, you know, it's a confusing conversation to have, because the father of my child isn't around because he's in prison. What can I say? He's in prison, and even in prison, he's sent me money. So it's not like I'm like with a deadbeat who doesn't take care of his child, and his family sends me money all the time. It's a freak of nature fucking, you know, situation that just happened to happen. I went into it in the first episode. I think I did. Maybe not. I don't remember. But so it's like, I didn't go into becoming a mother with the intentions of having to be a provider. I didn't prepare for it. And that isn't who I am. That isn't the kind of relationship we had. He was the provider. I didn't work the entire time we were together. I maybe did for a month because I got bored, and I was, you know, it was something creative that I was doing. But yeah, I was going to create a life with the provider, with our child. And now that isn't the case. So now I'm in a situation that is not in my nature. It's not in my nature to try to figure out how to be a provider. No matter how much I grew up seeing my mother be the head of the household because she was in her masculine and she, you know, didn't grow up with the father who made her feel safe and didn't grow up with the father who, you know, reassured her that it's okay to be in your feminine and get what you want. No matter how much I grew up seeing that, it is not in my nature to be in my masculine. It is not in my nature to be defensive, in survival mode, hypervigilant, feeling unsafe. It's not in my nature. So when I'm having to wreck my brain about having to pay this bill and do this and do that and make sure my kids' needs are met, make sure my needs are met, and not in my body, how can a man expect for me to not ask for you to get, you give me something? I want something, so give it to me. Because receiving is what will put me in my feminine. Receiving is what will make me feel provided for and cared for and at ease. It's really that simple. And I didn't grow up thinking that way. I'm not gonna lie, I really didn't. And not because I didn't feel, I mean, let's be real, there might have been a chance that I didn't feel worthy of being provided for. Because, I mean, where were the people around me telling me that I was? And it's not what people say, it's what they do. It's the energy in which they do it. And I guess this is the point where we can pivot into how an upbringing, or how, just I guess specifically how my upbringing contributed to that. And maybe someone can resonate with it. So growing up as a Black woman, as someone who failed out early in life. Like, I specifically remember a picture of me when I was maybe like 6 or 7, and I was bone thin, like bony and scrawny. But then I also remember starting public school around like age, I think 7 or 8, 7, 8 or 9, whenever, that's when I started public school, and having a big butt that boys used to like run up and hit while we're on the playground. It made me so uncomfortable. And to be completely honest, there were moments of being touched improperly while in school as well, or not even in school, but by people who were supposed to be like close members of my family. I wouldn't say family. They weren't blood. It was like my dad's best friends, like foster kids type shit. You know what I mean? Like, we're supposed to be family, but I'm being touched improperly by you guys. So I'm just like, early on, I was put in positions where I was not protected. And we'll even go as far to say that I think my dad even shamed and held and, you know, held a bit of guilt over me for that happening, as if it was my fault that it happened to me, when really you were supposed to be protecting me from that to begin with. But again, that's what I'm saying. A boy looking for a reason to blame a woman for not making him feel manly, or a man or a boy looking for a reason to blame another woman for the ways that he doesn't feel, you know, empowered, when it's his job to empower himself, to grow the F up. Today I realized, or maybe yesterday, whenever the case, recently I realized the shame and guilt was never mine to carry, because I am literally just the monster that you created. Being inconsiderate of my needs, you know, teaching me that I didn't have to have a standard or expectation that needed to be met before someone could access me. This is me speaking to my father. You taught me that. My dad taught me that. Convincing me to, what's the word I'm looking for? Convincing me to prioritize your feelings above my own. My dad taught me that. Putting me in situations, or I wouldn't say putting me in situations, but not, or feeling the need to compete with me for space. Because again, you're stuck in your child, your inner child, feeling like, you know, these are my toys and I want to keep them here because I want to mark territory. I need to feel like I can mark territory somewhere because my mommy didn't let me. So me being a child and feeling like, oh, I can't go and I can't go there. I can't do this. I can't touch that because it's my dad's. So basically competing with me for space in a place where I'm supposed to be laying my head, and which makes me constantly feel unsafe in the environment because I'm never actually relaxing. And the thing about it is, a lot of men benefit from women feeling unsafe. When a woman is stuck in her mind and isn't in her body and isn't softened, she can be easily accessed. Her womb can be easily accessed. Her heart can be easily accessed. There are men creating entire lives, manifesting with their access to a woman without her permission. So, all in all of those things come down to, my dad taught me that it was okay for men to access me without my permission. He taught me that being in survival mode, because again, I feel like I have to survive in my own home. I feel like I have to survive around him. So he taught me that hypervigilance, survival mode, tensing up and being in my masculine was a way of life. And so to grow up and then become promiscuous was inevitable. And for him to turn around and shame and guilt me for that, you created the monster that you're running, that you're pointing and screaming at. Because really, let's get into it. Promiscuity is always not, or is not always about, you know, sexual attraction. Sometimes hypersexuality is a form of hypervigilance, is a form of survival mode. Because if we get into sex as a means of marking territory, or get into sex as a means of asserting domination, that's what I was mostly doing. To be completely honest, I wasn't having sex to experience pleasure. I wasn't having sex to be intentional about, you know, co-creating energy and manifestation and bliss. And like, that was the furthest thing from my mind. I was literally doing it out of necessity, truthfully, not to connect whatsoever. And so to be, that's what I'm saying, like to be kind of raised to act like that, behave like that, respond to my environment like that, and then be shamed and guilt, and then to have to hold the shame and guilt of that and still not be protected from it is my story, and a lot of other Black women's stories too. And I mean, that's really just like the heart and soul of why I created this brand, is reestablishing my relationship with my body, reestablishing the relationship I have with my sexual nature, reestablishing boundaries within my womb, energetic boundaries within my womb that should have been taught to me through example and through habit, through practice. And so, even though I'm 30 years old, teaching myself something that I should have been taught then, time doesn't exist, and the time is now. And so, yeah, yesterday I stood up for myself and I let a man know that in order to access me, you need to assure me that I'm safe first. You don't get to access me without my permission. You don't get to access me through manipulation. You don't get to access me or by playing into my insecurity. You get to access me by playing into how secure you can actually make me feel. So this morning I realized the parts of me that are in opposition of that, the parts of me that are used to feeling unsafe, that are used to, you know, anticipating harm, needed to be seen and loved on. And it doesn't take away from any of the healing I've done thus far. It doesn't set me back. It doesn't push away my manifestation. It is all a part of the process of bringing in a life that is filled with ease and bliss and pleasure. I have to go through the thing so I can feel the thing and affirm the thing. That's what brings it in. That's what creates the life that I want to be a part of. So now I can say for a fact, I live a life of ease. My needs are met. I want for nothing. I'm loved for exactly who I am. No matter what, love is available to me. My feelings are considered. I can say all of these things. Those are manifestations in itself. And that's that too. Like, just because I don't have the Porsche truck doesn't mean I'm not manifesting. I just manifested all of those things. They went from just being affirmations to actual truths of mine, because I went through something or experienced a feeling that made me have to actually affirm and let that in. So that's my offering for today. Consider the ways that you were inevitably taught to grow up as the person that you became, so you can let go of the guilt and the shame that comes with that identity. At this point in my healing journey, I realize I've done all of the processing. I asked the questions. I became my own therapist. I asked the questions. I flashed the light. I showed the mirror. I've done all of that. I felt the feelings. I went past just intellectualizing my healing and, you know, putting a face to the feeling or color coding the shit, to actually feeling the feelings, being uncomfortable sometimes, but learning or getting into a practice of reassuring my body that it's strong enough to feel feelings, reassuring my body that you know, there's a level of trust present for us both. You know, my body didn't trust me and I didn't trust my body, because again, I'm feeling feelings that feel really uncomfortable for me, but don't have a practice of setting that boundary, of saying, no, that's uncomfortable, of saying, you know, actually I need, you know, to be regarded this way. This way makes me feel more comfortable, because I genuinely don't know what I need, because I haven't considered what I need, because no one asked me what I needed, because those needs were never met. Like, it just. So, I've processed, I felt the feelings, and I realized this point of my healing journey is just about letting go. About claiming that's no longer my truth, about actually affirming what my truth is, about not even meeting my own needs, but just affirming what those needs are and allowing them to be met by the universe, by God, by people around me. Just getting into the practice of it all. Shout out to Allen Iverson. I still want to meet him. I think I can one day. I literally will, I will break down boohoo crying if something ever happens to Allen Iverson. I digress. But yeah, it's time to let go. That's where I'm at. Just completely stepping away from the table. Just getting up. Like, I ate it. I digested it, I threw it up, whatever I did with it, and I'm done now. I'm done with that life, with those feelings, with those truths, with not holding my shadow as close as I should, because where my shadow is, you know, there's also light present, right? So yeah, that is my offering for today, and I'm really proud of the way I'm showing up for myself. I'm really proud of the way that I'm showing up for other Black women, just by example, because really, just being exposed to an energy is enough to spark change. That's why it's important to go into certain neighborhoods where the people have more money than you. Or to go into certain environments and be around people that you want to be like. Because literally just breathing the air, exchanging words, eating the food they eat, it matters. But again, you have to still be open. You have to be open to the change that is then suggested of, or the growth that is, you know, available to you as an opportunity, of course. But yeah. The brand is going through changes. It's still, because again, it's a lifestyle brand. It's a baby. It's a baby that I'm caring for. And so I have to meet its needs in real time. It might not want that type of food this time around. It might want some space. It might not want the same routine. So I'm letting it just constantly shift. But I know where it's going, and that's what matters. And same for me. See? Lifestyle brand. Same with myself. I might not want this. Might not want to respond to my situation in the same way. I might not want the same type of nurture, the same type of food, the same type of coping mechanism as I did yesterday. And I don't. And that's okay. Because all of it is contributing to my growth to get me to be, you know, who I want to be when I grow up. So I'm sending love always, and I guess since last time's homework was give yourself the green light, yeah, today's, oh, I already said it then, never mind. Today's homework is go in the closet. Go in the closet, take it out, dust it off, look it in the eye, and let it be. And if you're carrying shame and guilt, let it go. It's not yours to carry. You can't receive if your hands are full. Until next time.